So in that he is perfect, and as he is, so am I, and he, the Bible tells me. And inasmuch as he hath made me perfect, in that the Bible said he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, having sanctified us once and for all by the blood of Jesus as the offering of Calvary, then being without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, in that he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not, I just point him back to Calvary. When he gets to aggravating me too much, I just point him back to Calvary. When he gets to questioning my sonship like he did Jesus, he said, if thou be the Son of God. Jesus said, my Father beareth witness. So I point him back to Calvary. When he begins to question my integrity, my righteousness, when he begins to question me, I just point him back to Calvary. I say, there I am. See me right there. There I am. There I am. Who am I? Who am I? Jesus said. Who am I? And I am bone of his bone, and I am flesh of his flesh. Not just as to Calvary, to know him after the flesh, but having been born again on this side of Calvary, in that the Bible said he was delivered for my offenses and raised again for my justification, I am as he is on this side of the grave, up and alive as to my justification. And someone would say, well, Brother Pike, on this side, Jesus is a spirit. So you couldn't be as bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. But on this side of Calvary, they said he is a spirit. He said, fill of me, a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. So when he came out of the grave, he was ever bit flesh and bones. So I am bone of his bone, I am flesh of his flesh. And in that the first man Adam was made a living soul, the second man Adam a quickening spirit. Then today I pass from death unto life, because I am no more as a living soul. I am now a quickening spirit. The soul that sins shall surely die. But inasmuch as I'm dead because of sin, then I am now alive. I once was dead, but I'm alive forevermore because of righteousness. So as in Adam all die, and as in Christ all are made alive, so am I as he is, so am I in him. For in him all is made alive, and he is raised again for my justification. So today I am raised from the dead, alive to live forevermore. I am alive forevermore. I have eternal life. I know you don't believe that. I can tell the way you're clapping. But it's true anyhow. It's true anyhow. Eternally alive. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, I know that they put bodies into graves. I know, but I'm not in the flesh. I'm in the spirit. So, we're not to know a man after the flesh. To know a man after the flesh is to be an error. Jesus said, who am I? Somebody said, you're the carpenter's son. I know your daddy, your father. I know your mother. Peter said, not so. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus confessed that he was. He said, for I came from heaven. I came from heaven. He said, you're of the earth, and you are earthly. And from the dust thou art, Adam, and to the dust thou shalt return. For in thee, Adam, all die. But Jesus said, I am from heaven. I like that, don't you? Somebody would say, well, what has that got to do with you, Brother Pike? Says, as he is, so am I in him. He was the beginning of the creation of God. He was the first fruits of them that slept. He was the first brother among many brethren. And I am no more in the first man Adam as unto death because of the offenses, but I am in Christ as of the one that is eternal. eternal, and I am alive forevermore, as bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and I'm no more as it was Adam, the living soul, but by the washing of the water of regeneration. I am now out of the old generation of Adam, and I am in the new generation as to the regenerating. So I am in the regeneration by the washing of the water of the Word, which means the Spirit. So then I am alive forevermore, and that's what makes me happy. He keeps me happy. He keeps me happy. I sang this song. He makes me happy. He makes me happy. I enter his gates with thanksgiving, and the joy of the Lord is in my heart, and he makes me happy. That's why the Bible said serving God is joy. Peace, I have peace. We sing the song, peace like a river, peace like a river. I have peace. I have a deep, embedded peace. And I have joy. I have joy. I cannot express it in words because it is called joy unspeakable. And it is just full of glory. Full of glory. Things are really happening. They're really happening fast. As a matter of fact, we have preached a number of times about the mark of the beast and the number as to the number of a man's name. And we have some things on tape we said here. Just go back and you recall it, and we explained what it meant as to the number of his name, and we explained how that number came about as to the name and what the significance of it is. We may have two tapes with it on it. Perhaps not. Maybe just one tape. I do a lot of explaining as concerning the name, but on this one particular tape, I remember bringing it out explicitly. I don't know what the name of the tape is. We've got so many tapes. But if you listen to all of them, you'd find it. All right, so things are happening so fast until we as individuals are not able to keep up with it. Though we think we are, yet we're not. And I made the statement concerning the mark of the beast, how that this mark would come in, and this number would come in, and Satan would do it so cunningly that you'd never know anything about it, that it would come right on in. And it would have to be revealed even to the saints of God, in that they would know when the time was nigh even at hand, that the day should not come upon you unawares. So to be the least bit overconfident takes you out of the presence of God to where he can tell you these things and to let you know what's going on. Great men are falling. How do you know that great men are falling? You see all these things happening to the TV artists, and you see things happening not only to them but other things. Well, for instance, like today, they gave me a little article today that says Brother Douglas is dead. Brother Douglas just died. The great, mighty man Douglas that has fed so many teeming thousands and thousands of little ones overseas. We've sent him money numbers of times to help feed the little ones in different countries. He had works in countries all over the different parts of the world. Great works. And he always make the statement, you know, you look for this and that. He said, I look for children. And perhaps there's things that Dr. Douglas done that I wouldn't want to be part of, or I didn't see it like he did. But I sure would like to have it accredited to me at the time of my departure, as it is credited to him, of the many teeming thousands of little ones that he fed, and that the Bible said pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, that you visit the widows and the orphans in their afflictions and then keep yourselves unspotted from the world. But he just died. He just passed away. For many years, he's been a great, mighty warrior. You probably at times got his magazine and seen the many things that he done over in India and other places. But great people are fallen. Great, mighty men are fallen. And we who remained until the time of the crossing, as to you and I, we must go on. We must continue our work, whether we have the crossing at a young age or we have the crossing at an old age. We still must continue on. So, things are happening. We had a little discussion just yesterday, I believe that it was. And Chuck was showing us some literature. And we, looking at this literature, it's already being scattered around everywhere. We had spoke of the computer and how it would come through the computer and through the laser beam. And they are now in the stores everywhere, taking the items, they're itemizing everything. We said that they would go to that and get it to where one man could know just exactly how much food was in all the world, as to how many boxes of cereal and how many packs of biscuits and on and on and on and on, how many pounds of meat. And that way they could computerize it and take it to the big operation that has to do with the Belgium or over in that area. And what is the name of the place over there? We went through it not too long ago. Brussels. I say Belgium, Brussels. So now they have discovered that on everything, almost everything that you buy, you know, it has the little lines on it. You've seen it with the little numbers at the top of it. And they have defined it. And in doing it, they found out that there's two fine lines coming down on one end. Two fine lines coming down on the other end. And two fine lines coming down in the middle. And as to a numerical evaluation, these are equal to 666. That's what it is. If you'll notice, the little lines carry a number. But on these particular lines, they don't put the number. But when you go back and find out what the number is that they should have put, it's 666. It's right there. So every time you get a can of milk, every time you buy something, every time they run it over the little scanner, the number is there. Remember, the Bible said you would not be able to buy nor sell without this number. Already, for them to be able to sell and operate and compete with the things of today, the stores have to take that number on everything. And for you to be able to get your groceries, then you have to take that number on practically everything you get. You fill your sack with 666. So it's already come in. The number has already come in. The beast, the mark of the beast is already here. We told you that here a while back, and we said, I know that you don't believe what we're saying, but the end of the Gentiles is here, and our cycle as to preaching around the world has to do with this, and that the thing is at a consummation, and the coming forth of the Jews, that's why we had such a friendliness out of the Jews this time. The coming forth of the Jews represent the resurrection from the dead. Paul, in his revelation, he saw something, and when he saw it in the Spirit, he gave a statement as to this. If the casting away of the Jews, that is the rejecting of them at Calvary by God, if the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world, that is the chance for the Gentiles to get saved and salvation to the rest of the world. If the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world, what will the receiving of the Jews be but life from the dead? That is to say, the resurrection. So the Jews are ready to come in. So the resurrection is at hand. What is the resurrection? It's the translation of the church. For the Bible said, we that remain and are alive at the coming of the Lord shall not exceed or excel those that are asleep. For the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then they which are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. And so shall they ever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these sayings and with this word. So you can see that with the coming of the Jews, Paul said, what will it be but the resurrection of the dead? That is, Paul got a revelation, and he saw that the casting away of the Jews represented death to the human body. Our body dead because of sin. God could not tolerate our body because it was of the first man, Adam. So it was delivered unto death. That is to say, by one man, Adam, came death. So as one man, Adam, to fulfill that, Jesus went to Calvary. And that was death. Death to all. And in that one man died for our sins, took away our sins. One man, it was required of him to bring us life. For if death came by one man, there was only one man needed to bring life. So when Jesus went to Calvary, he died as a headship. And Pilate said, will you crucify or kill your king? They said, don't say that he's our king. But when he was crucified, Pilate wrote this above his head: Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And they were furious. They said, don't call him our king. We don't want that inscription. But he said, what I have written, I have written. Because he really believed he was the King of the Jews. And the Jews are suffering today because they said, crucify him and let his blood be on us. And even though they did not crucify him, because the scripture said it was not lawful for them to put a man to death on the feast day, the Romans did it, but nevertheless, the blood was upon them. And I said it would continue down through the years until the end of the papacy. The papacy starting with Peter, as Paul said in the gospel, was committed unto Peter for the Jews, and they rejected it. And then God, allowing Peter as their head to have a contest with Paul, he folded it up with Peter and laid him away as to the law, as to the papacy, and brought it over to Paul as to the spiritual Jew, as to the inner man, putting the outer man into the tomb, folding the law up by the body of Jesus and laying it away. And history saying that Peter being crucified upside down, Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. So then Peter, representing Satan and to the first papacy, then it showed him falling from heaven when Paul resisted him. And when Paul said, I blame Peter to his face because he was to be blamed. And the Lord folded it up with the Jews, laid it away, and the Jews went out of the presence of God. And Peter signifying their head as to the gospel to them. Peter, to the symbolic sense, went out of the presence of God, saying, get thee behind me, Satan. And out went the Jews, and that was the death of the head of the Jews. Peter represented the head of the Jews as to Jesus. And Paul represented the head of the bride, or the spiritual Jew, the inner Jew, as to Christ. And this was Calvary. And this was the dividing asunder of the body and the spirit. And as to the rending of the veil, or the temple that was rent in twain, as to say his body. Him making in himself twain, both Lord and Christ. So I said that to say this: when Peter went out, it showed the fall of Lucifer. And Revelation 12 records the war in heaven, as was seen in the time of Daniel, when Daniel prayed, and when the angels tried to come down, and they were intercepted by the evil angels and the middle rim. And we spoke of that. We brought out a revelation as to the king of Persia and what it had to do with. So in this, Satan was cast out of heaven. He fell from heaven as to, get thee behind me, Satan. Being crucified upside down, Peter showed this. And when Satan fell, he personified himself as in a papacy. And Peter being the one to fall, he was considered the first pope. And then him being Peter, the great man that received the keys to the kingdom, the papacy from that time on called themselves the descendants of the man with the keys. But you know, that's really something. I spoke about how beautiful it was as this went on down through the ages, and how that the papacy of Rome, and I hope you don't mind me talking to you just a minute here, how that the papacy of Rome had control of all of the earth. All of the earth, all religions. And how that the blood was upon the Jews and the papacy escaped it, the Romans escaped it, by taking on this thing concerning Peter. And that someday it would be lifted off of the Jews because they really did not crucify Jesus. They only gave their voice to the crucifixion. And it would be lifted off in the day that this would happen. The crown would be taken away from the papacy, as to the crown that left Judah way back in 721 B.C. As in 975 B.C., before the coming of the Lord, when the 10 tribes fell into darkness, that is to say, separating themselves in the time of Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, and Jeroboam as the one that contested the things that Rehoboam the son was doing. 10 tribes lost, falling away. And at the same time as these went away into Assyria, then came the 2 tribes later down into Babylon, the Septuagint with Judah. And then when Judah went down to Babylon, 721, from that time the great prophet Jeremiah preaching, and the prophets pointing to this said, and 70 years is determined upon thy people down in Babylon. And so then down in Babylon, Daniel went as a boy and the others, and stayed there until the 70 years was finished. And then in the days of King Artaxerxes, as to the cupbearer Nehemiah, mourning and fasting before God, the sadness moved the king to let him have timbers to rebuild Jerusalem to the coming of the Messiah, in that the walls had been torn down. 445 B.C., Nisan, at that time, which is the month of March, as to the Jews, at that time the commandment came forth to build and restore wall to Messiah. And it was built back in troublesome times. We have some tapes here where we preached on it. 500 years of silence. According to the Bible scholars, in that time there was not any prophets as to that time. Hardly any word from God at all. A time of silence. I said all that to say this: in the building back of the walls, we remember that the crown had left Judah, went down into Babylon. And that was the beginning of the time for the Gentiles. And it was in that time that Daniel saw all these beasts that represented the Medo-Persians and represented Alexander the Great with the Hellenistic religion and represented the coming of the Roman powers as to the beast with the iron teeth. You know, like the Iron Maiden, open up, step inside, close up, drop down into a hole when it opens up again. This horrible beast with the iron teeth. The crown left Judah, went down in Babylon, stayed 70 years, and when it come out of Babylon, as to the restoring of the walls, as to Nehemiah pulling the Jews back out to their homeland, as it come back, the Messiah came 500 years later. Because the angel had said to Daniel, 70 weeks, 490 years. And just prior to the end of that 490 years, that's allowed 1 week called the tribulation period, or the last week of Daniel, as to a day for a year. It was prior to that 1 week that Messiah came. Said, and Messiah shall come and make an end of sin. And when he came, the Bible said, and Messiah shall be cut off. That is, they'll kill him. He'll be cut off, not for himself, but it will be for the people. That is, he'll die for the sake of the people. To spill his blood, not spill his blood, but to give his blood. For to spill is an accident, but to give his blood. So I said that to say this, that when Messiah came, they built the walls back to Messiah. It was in that time of the days of the Maccabeans, during this period, and along about the Apocrypha. When it came in, it was about the time of the Maccabeans. When Antiochus came, that is, Epiphanes came and put a sow on the altars of God, desecrated the altars, according to history, by putting these things on the altar, and God got so upset with him, he let his bowels, his guts, rotten out as Judas's fell out when he hung himself. And then, of course, following the coming of the Lord, you know that 70 years later, 70 AD, Titus, the young Roman general, came in, burned the city, done away with the records. And the Lord allowed that to where there would be no records except Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and that of the coming of the Messiah up from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, the register carrying this as to a record as being a direct descendant coming through Mary, down from Nathan, or coming from David as the son of David, in that on Joseph's side, a man by the name of Quaniah, he corrupted the seed and God stopped it to show that his son could not come through the lineage of man as to the defiled blood, that it was corruptible, and because of the fall of Adam, it could not be. There had to be a new blood seed. So in this, he corrupted his way, and God swore that not one of his seed would ever sit upon the throne of David. So today there is a record, just one record, of a king that is to come, and that king was Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the only history there is. Titus did not intend to burn the city. He made the statement, said, "This is the hand of God. I didn't intend to do this. So many people slain." And about that time, of course, Paul was killed. And then a few years later, about 96 AD, off of Asia Minor coast there, right at a little rocky island called the Isle of Patmos, right around the Mediterranean, and back in there at that particular sea that's called the Great Sea, or the waters out of which the beasts come. We were standing there looking at about where he'll come up a few days ago. Anyway, I said all that to say this, that they'll bring forth the record as to the millennium right here in this present world, as to 1,000 years millennium reign. The Jews' eyes will be open, and they, along with us, will put Jesus on the throne through a legalistic thing. That is to say, to move Mr. Reagan, to move the Queen, to move all other powers and authorities, and to set him on the throne as the supreme heir of all of the world. And the Jews to be made the head of the nations under him, and whoever he pleases as to be in Mr. Reagan's place over America, and the Queen's place over her country, and whoever in whatever part of the world he wants, he'll put the rulers there and put the 12 apostles sitting upon 12 thrones beside him, giving each one of them one tribe of the 12 tribes, and they will rule over the 12 tribes of Israel, while he himself with his bride that Paul came to get, the spiritual interperson, will sit upon the throne and rule all of the world through these apostles and through these tribes as the head of the nation, while all other nations are subjected to them. And they still have the record to where they can do this. But I wanted to say this, and that's why I said that. And that is that the crown went into Babylon, came out of Babylon to the Messiah. When the walls was built back, Messiah came and they would not give him the crown. But nevertheless, Pilate put the crown of the Jews, that is the king of the Jews. When you say king, you're speaking of the crown. The king of the Jews, he said, "This is the crown of the Jews. You've rejected him. You've rejected him. You gave him a crown and you crowned him. But you crowned him with a crown of thorns." And thus the crown went to the papacy. That is, the devil got a hold of it and set up the papacy. And the papacy of Rome has ruled ever since. And all of a sudden, X amount of months ago, The priest came here. He was tutored in Italy, where the crown was, where the Basilica of Peter is. And they've always had the crown. And the world has always looked up to them because they were the powers of authority. And when the Jews lost it because they would not give it to the Messiah, he said, rather than making you the head, I'll make you the tail. Deuteronomy. So it went to the papacy, and I had just spoken about the fall of the papacy and that they would lose the crown and that it would go back to the Jewish people. And you notice how that since they lost the crown recently, in that the papacy took it off, done away with it, when they lost it, he turned to Israel and said, my elder brother. And while I was in Israel, I saw the paper there on their newsstand, and here was the papacy, and here was the chief rabbi or the priest. Whereas when we come from over there, we brought a prayer shawl. I hadn't noticed it until the other night. I gave it to my wife. I brought two of them, one for a boy, one for a man. And I brought a little flag made out of some real good material of a six-pointed star flag of David. We brought one time before and flew it out here on our flag, Paul. So I brought this one. I gave it to David. I gave him the little shawl, and I gave the big one to my wife. It was after I'd given it to my wife that I noticed that it had on there the high priest. And I knew when I was getting that in Israel what it had to do with, but I did not know that it was on. I did not know that it was on the prayer shawl. It came out of the old city, from the Jewish quarters, out of a Jewish merchandise. And it was there that this man came to our place, which was the hotel called the Menorah. And it was there that I bought the 8 menorahs to bring back as to our family, because our family has to do with the Jews coming in, and already they're coming in, one right after another, they're coming in. The Lord is dealing one way with this one and another way with that one. And you know, the 3 visions I had, this seems to stray off a little bit from the major thought, or theme of our thought here. We'll get back to it. But I had the 3 visions, and one of them was concerning Betty's mother. One of them was concerning Michael Pike, and the other was concerning George Jr. And the last one came to pass. Was it yesterday that they had the terrible wreck? And at least 6 car pileup, 3 of them was tractors and trailers, and some of them piggyback as to doubles. But it was a terrible ordeal. It was raining, and it happened over where we had this tent over in Forsyth, not too far from Ensign, when I spoke of that tent being there, that God would lift up an Ensign to the people, and Rick having to do as to Junior, the firstborn. But anyway, Rick said it was so bad that when he finally run over a sign, got stopped, got out. And I prayed that God would protect him, because I saw death strike him in the vision. And in the vision, it looked like the whole family was involved, and especially the 2 sons, which were slightly injured in this. And that in the vision, I could not see George Jr., but I knew that this had happened. But anyway, it was so bad that Rick said he jumped out of his car in the rain, jumped out into the highway, and numbers of cars had already been hit, and he was trying to flag this truck driver down. Said he just kept waving and running backwards, and the man just kept coming on him. And he said that the man was hollering at him, and he was hollering back at the man, and so the man couldn't understand what he was saying. And said the man, in his mind, from what Ricky found out or perceived, thought, I know that there's a wreck, and I'm trying to get through the wreckage so I can get up here and park and get out of the highway before we cause another wreck. But Ricky, being able to see beyond the truck driver, and that he could not hardly see because of the rain and whatever through the mirror, Ricky was in the front of him, trying to get him to stop while the man was about to run him down, because the man had hooked into another tractor trailer. And he was dragging the tractor and trailer, and he had both lanes here. And the man behind was applying his brakes so much that he was about to set the trailer and tractor on fire. And Ricky said while he was hollering at the man, trying his best to get him to stop screaming, said the man just kept coming till this tractor that he was pulling went clear over a red car that had people in it. Maybe some children or something, I'm not sure. Anyway, was it the mother and the woman, or who was it? Anyway, he went over that one completely and never did know about it. And was still coming down on Ricky, and Ricky hollered. And Ricky said there was two more cars in line. One of them, he was about to run over it after he had run over the other. And the third car, Rick said, would have been my car and my family. Said he'd have come right over them. And said, I was so terrified. He said that when he run over the first and I seen he wasn't going to stop, said I quit running backwards and just throwed up my hand for him. You know, that he'd have to hit me or stop. And said, the man throwed on brakes right at me. Said, because he knew it meant him going over the top of his wife and children. And he said, the man was so furious, he jumped out with a piece of iron in his hand, a tattoo or something, run up to Ricky and screamed at Ricky and said something. And Ricky hollered back at him and said, man, look at you know what you've done. And he said, when the man turned and saw it, said he turned white and all of the strength went out of him. And said, he said, oh my God. And then, of course, he told Ricky how much he appreciated him stopping him. But it was just a horrible thing. And that was, of course, the third thing that had come to pass. We had seen over there in Israel. And the Lord had brought us home. But I said that to say this. God is dealing with my family like the Jews. He's bringing them in. He's bringing them in. And I again said that to try to make a point here as to clarify what I was saying. As to the crown, so then the crown wasn't given to the Messiah. So it went to Satan, went down through the church ages as to the papacy of Rome, and then all of a sudden coming to this age, the priest comes here. The priest comes here, having studied over in Italy, studied in New York, having been a priest for a long time. He come here and we converted him to Christ to the extent that we baptized him in the name of the Lord. Had our differences and disputes with him as to what we said. And when he confessed the error of Rome, of the papacy, of his own error, he said, baptize me in the name of the Lord Jesus. When we did that, he would not rest until he made me a priest. He wouldn't rest. He came down to my house. I wouldn't let him go through any ritualistics. I wouldn't go with him. He wanted me to go with him even into Canada to one of the Catholic churches there of a high place of the hierarchy that he could ordain me in as a priest. He was working toward it. And I wouldn't do that. So he was determined he was going to do it. He came down to the house one night after hours. And he was there in the kitchen. And all of a sudden, the anointing of God came down and he fell down at my feet and looked up at me. And he says, Brother Pike, no one has to ordain you a priest. He said, God has already ordained you a priest. And then after that, he still didn't rest until he gave me, you remember the meeting in Macon? He was there. He's on film. We got him there praying with us for the sick. The anointing was great and mighty until we were just completely weary from praying from so many people. But anyway, he went through some things, gave me a little golden cross with this thing that you put around your neck. It has to do with ordination. Still have it down at the house. I think it's hanging on the little golden cross. But anyway, he went through this, and then when we was down here at the multi-purpose building, he went through some things, and the things that he went through with in his ritualistic satisfied him as to him ordaining me a priest. But it all went to one thing, and that was that the crown had been taken away from the papacy. It was now ended, and then it was to come over to the spiritual Jew. See, I said it will go to the Jews. When they come in, it will go to the Jews. But in between the time, as to the tribulation period, the time that it leaves the papacy, and goes to the Jew, it comes to the bride of Christ. It comes to the spiritual Jew. And so it was. It worked right over. And after that, the crown was gone. And the papacy is having problems. As a matter of fact, I didn't read it to you, but the paper stated in one or two places they wouldn't even receive him. After he'd set up his great meeting, one of the places was down in South America. And they would not receive him. After that he had set it up, the powers and authorities rejected it. Whereas that was an insult to him. And they were still trying to get it straightened out. This happened in two or three places. Things happened. They began to reject him because that era was over. See, that thing was over. And it had changed and had come to the spiritual Jew. And in that little Bethlehem represents a head of the nation as to whatever. Our flag, as to say, in the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of God and of his Christ. The thing at Eden, when we had the meeting there, and Mr. Reagan accepted our flag. And since that time, remember now, Jimmy came in having to do with the Lord Jesus. Mr. Reagan came in having to do with the Christ as to the child caught up to the throne, the star, Star Wars, that in heaven, as to the rod of iron. And you know how he ruled with the rod of iron in demanding what he wanted, and the bombs were dropped and he got things under control. The whole nation practically went after him. Well, anyway, it was after the communistic thing came in with Jimmy that our flag went up, because that was the end of it. Icky Bob wrote across the door, them going to the moon and taking the flag, putting it on the moon, as to say the glory of God has departed as it was when the Ark of the Covenant left Israel. He said the glory of God in that that flag represents the blood stripes and the stars over the woman's head as to America being the woman, and the woman in Revelation standing on the moon. Going up there, they emphasized the footprints, and as we said, the nest among the moon, that is among the stars, sitting on the moon. We spoke of this, and here they go up and the flag goes up as to say, oh glory. The glory of the Lord departed, gone away. And then came the New Testament as to the new glory, as Bethlehem, as to the Jews, as to the head of the nation, as to my brother seeing the vision of this being the White House, and to these other things that we go on going with visions and whatever. And Mr. Reagan writing and acknowledging his pleasure in the flag, which is at the White House now, as far as I know. So one going out, another coming in. And, of course, Mr. Reagan's sign is the same as my sign. In the Zodiac, maybe one of these nights, we'll bring out some more things concerning his handiwork in the heavens and for signs and season as to the glory of the Lord. Doth not nature teach him? We spoke of these things a number of times about Enoch and how these things were declared in the heavens and how all the earth would be filled with his glory as to the revelation, as to all things coming to life to show that they are something spiritual as a representative. So in this, we brought out something concerning the 12 houses and the sun going in and out among the 12 houses and what it had to do with spiritually. Mr. Reagan's sign being the same, whereas the sign of Mr. Reagan has to do with the water boy. Beginning with Virgo the Virgin as to the birth, and ending with Leo the Lion is the old way that the Zodiac used to be as to the conqueror. And the heavens declare his handiwork and all the stars and all those things. And the wise men found Jesus by following the star and seeing his star in the heavens. So then the sign of the stars, Mr. Reagan being a movie star, he took it to the third dimension as to heaven as to the spiritual side of it, and his as to a natural thing as a natural star in his sign, ruling with the rod of iron, and this as to a spiritual side to a spiritual Jew. For Mr. Reagan immediately went to the Jew saying, as go the Jew, so goes America. And so then, there's just a lot we could say about Jimmy and Mr. Reagan in this, but the sign of the water boy pouring out the water indicates the end of the world and the sufficiency of the church as to the water boy, Aquarius. And they suppose that these last 2,000 years, whereas to a sign that come in 2,000 years, I've got a feeling that if this be Aquarius and the sign is in as to our sign, that there won't be another one coming. I don't think it'll run over 2,000 more years. I think he'll be here in that it's only been about that much of time since Calvary and all the other time. So it looks like that sign's going to be here, and of course that sign is the filling up. And I could say a lot concerning that sign and those things, and maybe one of these days we will. But I just said that to show you the relation as to what is taking place. It was at Bethlehem of Judea. Over at Bethlehem, we were there a few days ago, and as I said to you, the roads were filled with stones, some big stones, and the road was blocked off. And on some of the places coming down from the place of the Nativity as to the birth, coming down around this way, down a mountain, and coming around the side of it this way, they had poured oil on the highway. And when we approached it, we didn't know it, but God had suffered some military to have discovered it, and they come toward us with the covered over truck and was trying to tell us something which I never did hear, never did understand. The others didn't either. So we continued on, but it did slow us down because we knew something was wrong. And when we slowed down in time that when we hit it, though we skidded a little bit, we still was able to keep in line and not go off of the embankment. Whereas another car following hit the thing and turned sideways, come clear down this way, and almost went over the embankment. But I said that to bring out this, that was Bethlehem. Bethlehem. War and problems in Bethlehem. Just around the corner that morning, that early morning, about 2 or 3 o'clock, they blowed up this building, a dwelling, drove the people out, blowed it up on the hill. They blowed up another one. Over here from it, the doors just ballooned out. The garage doors ballooned out like a balloon, and the lights, the glasses were burst out. People were frantic. See, trouble. The Jews coming in. And there's so much that we could say concerning this happening in Jerusalem. And Brother Jerry has some films that you'll probably get to see some of this. But that's Bethlehem, and our word is going out in Bethlehem as to the gospel, as to this thing. They're swallowing it up in Bethlehem. So many pieces of literature has gone out. Brother Jerry and Brother Owen, some of them, whoever's filming with us, they've got some films that it really makes me feel bad to this extent when I talk about them. That some of those 16 millimeters have never been developed and may ruin. And as some of the most interesting things in that they were having their Christian program, several different organizations as religious convictions, and the little children, to see them in it and the way they were dressed and the way they were marching and the different things is so intriguing until it just almost makes me sick when I think that we spent all of that money to buy films, to buy the cameras, to go and take the pictures, and took the time to bring back those things, and for a few pennies, we'd rather eat hamburgers and drink milkshake and let them run. But nevertheless, you know, that's the business of the people. I'm just here to talk about Jesus. So, the crown has shifted. Now, in that it has come to the bride, then the era of the Catholic Church is over. And they're finding all kind of fault. I read to you here how that priests have molested the children, and how that in the courts they have great cases against them and millions of dollars in suits against them. And I said to you, there would come forth as an angel flying through the heaven, and the Bible said, and this angel, the light of this angel would be so great it would enlighten all of the earth, which indicates a knowledge or understanding that's going to be powerful. And in the cry was, that she is fallen, she is fallen. Babylon the Great is fallen and has become the habitation of devils, of every unclean and hateful bird. And that's what I'm telling you here, is she's fallen. She's fallen. And she's become filthy. Devils have taken her over. And demons are there. Even in the revealing of the convents and the things that are happening, it is a horrible situation. She has fallen. The crown is gone. Her prestige is lost. See, and the church is now on the rise. For the Bible said that they would wear out the saints of God, which the Catholic Church has done with the ritualistics and a counting as to the rosary of the beads and whatever. And then it said that the saints of God then would rise and take the kingdom and possess it forever and ever. And to take the kingdom, you've got to have the crown. So then the crown has come to us. And what has the crown come for? So that we can crown Jesus, amen, the Lord of lords and the King of kings. We can crown him, and by our gospel, in that the Jews don't accept the New Testament, our gospel as to history prove that this is the only record as to a direct descendant as to being king in the millennium and taking over the world as the son of David, in that the promise from Almighty God was through Abraham and down to David and to his son. So right here, when America is pictorial in Revelation as the woman with the feet on the moon, the child is to be born, while the travail of America is here as it has been with all of the problems of the nations, and then the child being caught up to the third heaven, as Mr. Reagan represented, going into the third heaven, which means this message coming in right now is the mind of Christ, and the interspiritual man that is a candidate for that world coming into his knowledge as to his graduation or diplomacy from the schools of learning or the school of hard knocks, as we say, coming into his power and authority as to the bar mitzvah and ruling with a rod of iron. Mr. Reagan showed it. And the Jews and the Gentiles coming together, that's one thing that the rabbi admitted. He knew that the Gentiles would be fellow heirs with the Jews. All right, so then I said that to try to make a point here. And in what I'm saying, and that is that if she is portrayed as the woman, as to Jimmy and his problem, say in J.C., Jesus Christ, Jimmy Carter, they painted the beard on him, whatever. As to this, rising up as the head of the nations, goes back to what we said about Stone Mountain being a headstone, that the great leader that's on the horse that led the South in battle is in our ancestry. And that this stone, I said, if they would examine the earth, they would find that this stone, the Lord let me know, is connected with the mantle of the earth, the core of the earth, and goes all over the world and represents a head up here in this place. Of course, Brother Bill York, he's the kind of fellow that you just didn't convince by telling him something. Like when I spoke about the pyramid and the shatter, he wasn't satisfied until he built him a pyramid and put a light around it to prove it, and found out what I said was true. And when I spoke about this, he wasn't satisfied until he found something that proved one way or another. And at that time, a book came out called The Last Seven Wonders of the World, or whatever it was. And in this book, they said they had discovered that Stone Mountain went so far down into the earth that it fastened to the mantle of the earth. And they also said that, I believe they made the statement that the canal that Jimmy gave away, we spoke of the revelation of it, that the gates of that canal was made out of the granite of Stone Mountain. And of course, we spoke of the significance of that. See, as to the shutting of those gates, when God shuts, no man can open. Jimmy, he represented the end of the days of the Gentiles, because we'd had that canal. And when it was closed, it ended everything with the people of America. And now they have to go around, I believe it's by Cape Cod or whatever, but they have to go around the fierce waters, because they had cut that thing through there because of the fierce waters were the way they have to go around to indicate the wrath of God upon the Gentiles. But anyway, getting on with our thought right here, trying to express what we're saying, trying to condense it, because great is the mystery of godliness. Paul said, I am a steward of the mysteries, and this is so great. The Bible said that if all the things had been written that Jesus done, you, the world itself would not contain the books. So we're trying to bring out, as in a compact manner, in a compound way, to the knowledge of God, to where you can have a little sequence of some of the things that's happening. So then with this, the crown is to be given back to the Lord. And as to ruling with the rod of iron, the child being born, and at the very time of Jimmy's travail and America's travail, as to bring forth their supreme leader, which Mr. Reagan represented, being 70 years old, as to the coming out of Babylon and confusion, as to a demand that you follow me, saying that I feel like the world is going out and I'm coming in. One little candle as a birth of a child, rather than 70 as to the Babylonian confusion, a new way of life. And as Mrs. Roosevelt said, I had rather light one little candle than to curse the darkness. And of the song that we wrote, I'd rather light one little candle. So I again said that to point out that the killer, that is the communist leaders, came from out of China over here. The leader came to Jimmy because it represented the dragon as to the woman, and was ready to devour the man-child as soon as he was born. But as to Mr. Reagan, Mr. Jimmy having it out as to their debate, and Mr. Reagan as to the birth as to one, death to Mr. Reagan at 70, when I had the vision where he was shot, and I said shot with a 22. And surviving that, he went up to the throne. Death to his body, because Mr. Reagan would have been quite a smart aleck. He'd already been cursing and saying things of what he would do and whatever, and he would have been quite a smart aleck. But that toned him down. And then he become a religious man, or as we would say, he said he's a Christian, and begin to fellowship the Christians, even complimenting those as Christ is the answer, writing them a letter to that extent. So then when he went up to rule with a rod of iron, then came the man from the movie, Moses, as from Moses, to the child, the prophet likened to Moses. He came to the White House, gave the staff as to the rod, to the child to rule, as to the movie of Moses, the great movie that even Brother Branham spoke about seeing. And Moses took the staff, which indicated the rule with the rod of iron. And of course, when they said that Mr. Reagan was shot with such and such a gun, I was listening over the radio. I said, that ain't true. I said, ain't true. I said, because I saw the vision of it. And I said, and it was what I spoke of. And it wasn't long after that till they come back. They gave another news report. And they said, we've made a mistake. And the gun was exactly what I said. So then I said that again to say this, that the dragon came. The child went up. The woman went away into the wilderness. Because Mr. Carter was certainly in a wilderness, never going in the second time. And in that he represented America, she's been in a wilderness ever since. And God is just now bringing the thing around to try to pull her out of the wilderness. She has to go through the cycle of the 3.5 years, which again goes back to the 4-year term as to a president. About 6 months in the campaigning and about 3.5 as to an efficiency. But anyway, going back to that, Mr. Reagan called it on the last half of Jimmy's as to show the rending of the veil. So that means that the end of the world is here. Because at the time of the end of the world, you can read it. Peter said, you are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. And though it's come, it's not applicable or accepted until it's recognized. And now we went through the tutoring to recognize it, and then that we recognize our sentence. so shall be the judgment accordingly. Every man's sins has been brought to his own mind. He is now an adulterer, a fornicator, a liar, a swindler, or cheat. And he's come up front to where everybody can see him and everybody can know it. Because the Bible said nothing is done in the dark that won't come to the light. And now God is making it manifest that people are trying not to hide it anymore, but just do whatever they want to and let you know if they're a whiner or whatever. So that means the judgment. They are now being judged because they are being judged according to whatever they are. And they are being brought forth, and the judgment begins at the house of God. And it's not the man, it's the minister speaking, but God. And whosoever sins he remits shall be remitted. Whosoever sins he retains shall be retained. Whatever he binds on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever he looses on earth will be loosed in heaven. So that we come to that time of the indictment. As Noah, when he indicted the world because of what they did in that day to him. So, the dragon, the child, the woman, read it in Revelation 11, Revelation 12. The beast coming in Revelation 13. The war in heaven in Revelation 12. And the two prophets, the fall of the city, and the declaration that the kingdoms of this world have now become the kingdoms of our God and His Christ. As to Eden, our tent, ascending the flag to Washington, and Mr. Reagan accepting it, and on the flag it was, and the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ, and He shall rule forever and ever. In that Washington is a sovereignty of from all nations, including America, and that it has been the ruling power of the world as once directly or indirectly. So, again, we're seeing that the end of the world is here. And Satan making his nest among the stars. From thence the Lord said, I shall cast thee down to hell. As to the knowledge of the powers of evil. As to the Catholic Church. And they said that was the only one that got to put anything religious on the moon. And from that time God has let things happen to him. And he's casting them down to hell. And he's bringing them down. Bringing them down. Bringing them down. They climbed up to heaven as to make themselves the papacy and God and a religious attire about them to rule, but God's casting them down to hell. So, in that the child has been caught up, what is there then that is left? If Lucifer is cast out, in that the crown is moved and the crown has come to us and now we're caught up to the throne, in this third mind is the revelation of God. Then what is there left? Only a personifying of Lucifer in a headship, which is Antichrist coming, as the rabbi said, in a man, though he thought it would be the Messiah. And then the Jews, as to the casting away of the Jews coming back to the forefront as to the resurrection of the dead. Now, let me clear that real quick. Coming back in, which means at Calvary, the revelation is that they went out of the presence of God because they killed the head. And when you kill your head, your body dies. And they wandered in intellectual darkness, been out of the presence of God ever since. And now it is time for them to come back. That's why we was talking to them. That's why we was in the Solomon Hotel when we had the discussion as to the New Testament and had stayed the night before in the King David Hotel as to the old folded up and laid away. So as we talked with him, all this was coming about. Great, mighty revelation and things that we're not saying to you, but many things we are saying to you. So as to some things. So the war in heaven, 13th chapter of Revelation, all of a sudden the beast comes up out of the waters. That is to say, this great Superman out of many people, John said, in that waters represent people. Coming up, taking his power and rule and authority, which I know has to do with the Mormons' cunning device. Coming out of the desert, out of Salt Lake City, out of Utah, back to Sodom and Gomorrah, and back to Lot's wife, as the pillar of salt, and coming over there and undermindingly working a little scheme, giving their money to the foundation of Israel, and afterwards, through flattery, the Bible said, and who can stand before flattery, and working it that way, then Favor draws favor. You scratch my back, I scratch your back. So in this, they laid a little trap for the leader there in Israel, and he sold them properties when they went and asked for the properties. And just over the palace hotel, as to where I stood when the Lord let me know about the tragedy of Israel, the things that I have on tape that I spoke of, Sodom and Gomorrah, and as to prophesying down the streets of Dolorosa, going in right next to the Golden Gates into the Lion Gate, and down the streets of Dolorosa, while our book was being published as to the sermon, the time is now fulfilled, I was prophesying down the streets of Dolorosa, the time is fulfilled. So, in that this is our fifth trip over, something has taken place. We're about one third of the way on our journey, whereas the first leg, and we've still got two parts to fulfill. So then, in this, the time is at hand. Everything is at hand. And the mark of the beast was then to come, to be revealed, after that these things happened. And the woman, salvation being of the Jews, the Protestant people being the birth of the child, as to caught up to the spiritual side of life, the third heaven, the woman was to go away in the wilderness. And right now, the last week of Daniel, the tribulation, the suffering, the time of Jacob's trouble, as it was Joseph down in Egypt, when he took his Gentile bride down in Egypt, it is now at hand. The brethren were the ones that were in problems as to the Jews, but Joseph was on the throne with his Gentile bride as to Christ. Inasmuch as America is the civilization, that is a derivative from the hieroglyphics of Egypt, and so then all of the world is Egypt. And the Bible said, cursed is the man that goeth down to Egypt for his help. And while we was there, it had to do with, out of Egypt I've called my son. And the very time that we spoke here over the speakers, it was just prior to that, at the time of the eating of the pigeons, which I've never eaten in my life. But the offering as to the child has to do with the two pigeons. And so then they brought me the pigeons. I ate the pigeons. And then immediately with this, we broke through, coming over into Little Bethlehem, which had to do with the birth of the child. And then, of course, following at the time of the presentation, we come back. And with this, the child having nothing to do with the flesh, to know no man after the flesh. I've got people here that are fleshly minded that will never know what I'm saying. Never understand. They'll never have any interest. They would have more interest if you serve them a hamburger and a milkshake and you give them a new car, a home. They would have more if their husband brought in a big paycheck, or if the wife would cook a nice pan of biscuits and cook them some ham. But there are some here that are of that city. They are of that world. They are of that country. They are gods, and they are eternal, and they're ever going to be eternal young and eternal healthy and eternal rich and eternally alive and rule eternally, some of them upon thrones. So this generation, as to those that are not the sinful, adulterous ones, but those that are the ones that's coming to a diplomacy as the sons and daughters of God at this time, are ready to break forth. That is to say, the birth of the child, not knowing anybody after the flesh, but as to the spiritual Jew, as to the inner man. Now, we have known Jesus after the flesh, but that's folded up and laid away. We know him not as that that's delivered under the offenses, but as the Christ, which is raised again for the justification, as to rulership. So we see that the mark of the beast has come. It has come. Everything is in line. It has come. And tonight, I stand here telling you even of these things, as to the laser beam, as to the computerized system, as to those little marks that I spoke of, that you're eating the food. 666. You're eating. Don't tell me that you don't have it. You have it. Right there in your cabinet, right there on your table. It's right there with you. If you don't believe I'm telling you right, go home and take a look at it. It's right there. It's 666, but it's been concealed to where you can't see it. But it's been brought out, it's been shown, and that's exactly what they've got. And from what I understand, they've learned that the only thing that will work the computer, as I've said to you in the past, is this thing of 666, as to bring it around to man's number, for the Bible says it shall be the number of a man, and once this comes, you cannot buy nor sell, because it is very evident even at this time that it is going on everything that is sold or bought, and that it has to be computerized under that number. Without that number, you can't buy nor sell. And not only that, but it is now in effect. It is now in effect. Now, someone would say, well, Brother Pike, if that's true, then that means the people have taken the mark of the beast. That is true. But they have not taken the mark of the beast to the extent that it isn't just going to be put on the can of milk or on the loaf of bread or on whatever goods you might buy, which will go right on with the clothing and everything else, because all of it goes under a computerized system. Even if you don't have the mark on there, it goes back to a computer, because people have computerized systems. So, as to this answering to the great computer, it will not be effective as to the consolidation of the kingdom, as to the destroying of the human being and the soul of the human being, until they computerize the individual. And they're already beginning to do that. We spoke a long time ago, many months back. I said, and they will take the Social Security number and they will bring everything into it, under it, because it is a social benefit. And they will bring it in. Whereas they have already changed the serial number of the soldiers to the Social Security number, which that never was before. They've already changed it now to the tag number. And they're already bringing the food and all of the other things and all of your social activities under the Social Security number. You work and make your livelihood under the Social Security number. And it will narrow on down until they will bring it into the computerized system as to the evaluation that will bring you computerized as an individual, as to knowing how many people there are in the world. That's why these people come around to your home, taking the census. See, to get it all down to where they know you, your worth as to talents, as to ability, the worth as to the food, to equally distribute it, to keep everybody alive, to eliminate all the problems. Like that Jew said, and this man that comes will have all the answers for world peace. One of the answers that he's going to have is the gigantic computer, as to the membership of the computerized system throughout the world, as to an evaluation of individuality, and as to monetary values and goods, as to equally distribute these up, to know how to feed everybody, have enough left over, or how to do it without waste, or without one man having too much and another man having too little. For it's going to follow a similarity of what God did, as all things common. And as it is written, he that gathered much had nothing left over, and he that gathered little had no lack. And they're going to do that as through a policy of mark, Marx communism, as to the mark of the beast, as to bringing it in through China, as to the dragon, in that they worship as the dragon nation, which of course had to do with Jim and what we said. So then all that natural thing happening now, as in heaven, so in the earth. There has to be something naturally happening so that we who are spiritual can look beyond the veil and see the formula, that we can put it all together to be able to get the answer of that which is not present in our mind. So in this, the mark of the beast is here. But we are not as of yet computerized as individuals. They're doing this to fish, as salmons and different things jump out of the water, going up streams from here, going to this stream, jumping over the rocks. They strike them just like that with the laser beam. And when they strike them, the indenture or the print is there. Now, some is supposing that maybe they'll put a little chip under your skin here, like the little chips they use in the computers and whatever, and through that, they'll do it. Some as to another way. I believe that the laser will put it on the forehead and put it on the hand, and that you won't be able to see it except when it goes under the light. I can remember years ago when you went into a certain club, they stamped your hand when you went in, so that in the event that you went out, you could only come back in if you run it under the light and the scanner, and they could see what they'd put on your hand. They've done this down through the years. I remember that very well. And I believe it will work in a similar way. And this is going to do away with the money that we now have, and bring in a numerical order as to monetary value. And let me say this to you, and I hope I'm not holding you too long. But at this point, they are having a terrific confusion over money evaluation. Because over here in this country, as to Holland or the Netherlands, the money is compound as to 2 to 1. Over in Africa, it is as 6 to 1. As in Mexico, it's done gone so far that you can't even keep up with the count anymore. This is causing a great problem, and it's causing a confusion and a Babylonian thing all over the world. And they're going to have to find some answer to it. And they're looking for the answer. And this little article that I don't know how it got to me, it says the Economist EC proposal. Economist EC proposal. There has to be a way to economize and to bring up an economic answer some way. Economist EC proposal at point of no return. That's what it's going to be, the mark of the beast. Won't never get out of this. For the Bible said, they that receive this mark will have no rest day or night. But they'll be tormented day and night in the presence of God and the angels. United Press International, New York. A senior economist of Deutsche Bank AG on Friday said the European Communities, EC, plan to create a single internal market by 1992 has reached the point of no return. By 1992, it will have reached the point of no return. Now, what did we say to you when we preached to you a few days back before we left, bringing it down as to Daniel's last week and where it would strike? How many remember that? Some of you tried to do some computerizing on it. Making it impossible. Now listen to that. Making it impossible for government leaders to back out of their commitment to the plan. Once the government of any country has done this, there's no backing out. Now you say, what do you think this has to do with, Brother Pike? As sure as I breathe my breath, that's those 10 horns coming in. That is the 10 kings, the 10 rulers that's coming in of those nations. They're coming in with a plan that you can't break the pact, like the underworld. Like in the days of Daniel, once something was signed by the king, even the king couldn't change it. The government could not change it. This is coming in. What will it do? As it was in years gone by when Rome domineered, ruled over those smaller countries. And those countries still hate her for it now. The great whole that sit upon many waters. It is said there will be tough times in the transitionary period, said the economist Norbert Walter. But if we don't have that, there will be no gain. Leaders, not of 10 nations, of the 12 nations that comprise the European community, met in Hanover, West Germany last week to examine the steps that must be taken to ensure the success of their formidable goal. The creation of a region where freedom of movement for goods, services, capital, and labor is guaranteed. Among the more optimistic results, the single market is expected to generate is the creation of between 2 million and 5 million jobs, unemployment of jobs, period. Unemployment within the European community now stands at about 11 million. The plan also is expected to cause the dislocation of production. Manufacturers will be attracted to countries within the community that have low factory costs, cheap land, and cheap labor, such as Spain, Portugal, Italy, and Ireland. Or is Italy right in it? While these countries will gain under the single market plan, their gain will be offset by market forces such as the bidding up of land prices, Walter said. In addition, a single market will allow goods and services to be produced more efficiently and sold more competitively, something that will benefit all the countries within the community. At the Hanover Summit, participants appointed a group of currency experts to study what perhaps will be the most difficult task ahead, establishing a single European central bank and one currency. The report is due out next summer. Okay. So you can see, again, everything is getting in line for the mark of the beast. These things being narrowed down will come to those 10 horns and to the subduing as to the one that will devour the three to bring it to the control as to the seven heads. And then, of course, as the Bible says concerning the seven heads, five are fallen. One is. John, 96 AD, on the Isle of Patmos, said five of these heads of the beast have already fallen. One is, that is, he's in power in 96 AD. And he said, and one is to come, which was to follow John. Just like the thing of Constantine and that other coming in. And one is to come, which would have completed the seven. So at the time of John, six of them had already come to the forefront. Wasn't but one of them left. Said this one will come to make up the seven, and then all of a sudden, out of the seven shall come the eighth. Out of the seven will rise, as Daniel saw it, the little horn, and that will be the Antichrist, and to the subduing, as to the taking over, as to bring it into the power of headship. So you see these things coming up now, as to the 10 horns, and as to the heads coming up. Five have fallen, one is as to the heads, one is to come, that will be the eighth, that is of the seven, and he will be the Antichrist. So we spoke even of the papacy, of how the deadly wound was there, how that it would be healed, and all of the world would wonder after him, which it happened exactly that way. They said it's a deadly wound, it was healed, and the whole world went after. So it was obvious that that was bringing in it into the last stages. And believe it or not, that was one of the Russian people as to the country that it came from, having to do with Poland. That is right on the border of the Soviet Union. And relating to that, and I made the statement that would go with communism. And at that time, it was published and stated that the papacy favored the communism because they felt security in it. I want to read just a little bit. I'm going to try to stop because I could go on and go on. But I think I brought out enough to where it will be on record, to where you can understand. I have preached this to you before. Where Hananiah in the day of Jeremiah, they believe that he's the one that took away the Ark of the Covenant. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off of the prophet Jeremiah's neck and brake it. Jeremiah had just prophesied that 70 years in Babylon would be the fate of the Jewish people. Hananiah, a false prophet, came up, took the yoke off of the neck of Jeremiah, and the prophets were very illustrative in that day. It put a yoke on. Thus saith the Lord, this yoke shall be upon the neck of Israel or Jerusalem because of their rebellion, and they shall go down into Babylon. This was after the split. I spoke of it the first of our subject here, 721 B.C., 1075 B.C. as to the split of the tribes and whatever. Here it is. After being split up, here they go down. Hananiah the prophet, one among the Jews. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off of the prophet Jeremiah's neck and brake it. That's the boldness of the false prophets. And Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Jeremiah never argued with him. Never had a fuss with him. Not at all. Then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet, after that Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, go and tell Hananiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him, and I have given him the beast of the field also. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off of the face of the earth this year. Thou shalt die because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the 7th month. And it went on to say that now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem under the receipt of the elders which were carried away captive to the priest and to the prophets and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. And of course, that goes back to what we said about being there 70 years. So we see that the end of the world has come. The end of all things, the Bible said, is at hand. We should be more diligent in coming to church, more concerned in world evangelism. And as it is with Dr. Douglas that just went on to meet the Lord, have somewhat to offer when we stand before him. For the Bible speaks of people that will get in as if by fire, having no fruits at all, but just going through a horrible situation. And I know in speaking of this, there is a reference that has to do with them that go through the tribulation period. The Bible said, pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape those things that are coming on the earth, because going through the fire, he said, I will put Jacob through the fire. I will make him to pass through the fire. Some are going to make it, but I don't want to go through the tribulations. I want to do it God's way. Let's stand together. Appreciate your attention. There's a lot of other things that we could say, but you've listened real well and we're going to let you go. It's hot, real uncomfortable. Maybe at your home you got a good air conditioner, air, and you can go home and enjoy it to rest. I trust that you can. But in the meantime, this will give you something like the cow that eats the grass, go home and chew the cud and see what you get out of it. Because what I'm telling you is the truth. This is not luck. Hananiah, the false prophet. There are some people that are sent of God. And even though a prophet is never without honor except in his own country and among his own children, his wife, his household. Yet his words are the same as that has been said of God, it will come to pass. Because it is not them that speak, but God speaking, whereas he said to the prophet, I have set thee over the nations to pluck up and to plant, to tear down and to build. So let's sing a little chorus together. Let's sing I Love Him, can you? I love him. Sing it with me. I love him. All because that he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in God's Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Let's sing this chorus together. Sweep over my soul. Can you do that? Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest. And I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, yet in Jesus I am safe evermore. I need thee, Lord, we need thee, every hour we need thee, we need thee now, precious Savior. And oh, how we need thee. Don't turn Jesus away. Oh, don't turn Jesus away. For he has come back to your heart. once again. So let him in to stay. Borrow how you'll need him, just to plead your cause on that eternal day. So listen to Jesus and hear his sweet voice, and don't turn him away. Let's sing this little chorus together. I'm longing for Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus Christ, my friend, who will come and take me to my home up in the sky, up there where angels shout and sing. Can you sing me? Oh, we long for Jesus to come back. Long for Jesus Christ, my friend, who will come and take me to my home up in the sky, up there. Sing it with me again. For we're alone for Jesus to come back. We long for Jesus Christ, our friend, who will come and take me to my home up in the sky, up there where angels shout and sing. You love the Lord? Let's lift our hands up and love the Lord, can we? Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your blessings and for these people. I'm thankful that you kept me saved and my children saved. I'm thankful that you kept my little grandchildren saved, along with my children saved in the wreck. I'm glad, Heavenly Father, that you did that for me. And I'm glad to see some of them at the altar tonight. And I trust, Heavenly Father, that it'll always be so, to watch over my natural children and my spiritual children, here at home and throughout the world. And dear God, in that you've kept us saved on the first leg of our journey, I trust that you will continue to do that. I trust that you will continue to do it. Bless us tonight in Jesus' name. Let's sing this little chorus together. I know it's uncomfortable. In a little while we're going to let you go. Gone, and the stone is rolled back. Gone, and the tomb is empty. Gone, to sit at my Father's side. Oh, he's gone, over death triumphed. Gone, sin is defeated. Gone, and he lives forever. For he's gone, and the stone is rolled back. Gone, and the tomb is empty. Gone, to sit at my Father's side. For he's gone, over death triumphed. Gone, sin is defeated. Gone, and he lives forever. For he's gone, and the stone is rolled back. Gone,
and the tomb, it's empty, gone to sit at my Father's side. For he's gone over death trial, gone, sin is defeated, gone, and he lives one more time. I said he's gone, and the stone is rolled back, gone, and the tomb is empty, gone. I've been there, sat at my Father's side. Jesus is gone, the death triumphed, gone, sin is defeated, gone. Love him, sing it again. My Savior's gone, and the stone it's rolled back, gone, and the tomb it's empty, gone, to sit at my Father's side. For he's gone, over death triumphant, gone, sin is defeated, gone, and he lives.
Let's just close our eyes together. I hope that you've listened to the things that we've said tonight. I hope that you've considered these things as that which we have spoken to you tonight as being of God. And seeing that the time is nigh at hand, the day is foregone, the night, or it's forespent and the night is at hand. Then you see, as the Bible said, what manner of person we ought to be in all holy conversation, hastening unto the coming of the Lord as to the great day that will burn as an oven. The great day of the Lord is at hand. The Bible said it shall burn as an oven, and that we shall actually tread the ashes of the wicked under our feet, in that the Bible said, seeing all these things shall utterly be burned up, and the heavens being on fire, the heavens actually being on fire, and all therein shall utterly be burned up. Then comes the millennium of this same earth, as it was when I saw the vision, when Satan could not get loose, and the fierceness and everything turned into ashes. I saw the white ashes of the wicked burn to ashes as to the purified. And there stood the saints of God upon the ashes of the wicked. So then, seeing that you're children of God and that you're gods and that time cannot harm you, that you have power over all the powers of the enemy and nothing shall by any means hurt you, in the vision I was not hurt. I had a shield. I had a shelter. I had a place, a covert from the storm. And I wasn't hurt. And my people, those that followed us, wasn't hurt. And they stood there in the great millennium, having victory over all of the wicked. So we're here tonight, standing together. Have we made it over? Did we make it? Hath God, through the consummation as to the great coming of the Lord, having sent Elijah the prophet as to the reverence of John the Baptist, did he burn the wicked to ashes? As to the judgment of God, is it finished in his mind? And only to be made manifest is it that we have made it, that he hath perfected forever, that he hath secured, that he hath chosen, that he hath sealed in, that we've been saved all the time, and that we are they that dwell in heaven. And all he's doing is, as through the church ages, to reveal it to us as to our perfection. The saints said, the ministry said, there for the perfecting of the saints, that is to perfect your faith, as to the revealing of the contents of your rights, as to the detail of those things which have given you, as to the Father under the Son, as to an inheritance, as to the kingdom of God, in that flesh and blood cannot inherit that. The world will never have it. But in that you have received it, in that you have inherited it, in that the kingdom of God is within you, and we're not to know anything after the flesh, all that's dead and finished and gone, including the world, and we're not in the world, and we're not in the flesh. And is it that God is now revealing to them that have the contents of this in their heart as to who they are and what they are, and they're about to step out front with great degree of boldness as faith in the word of that which they've been tutored as to their perfection, depending upon, Paul said, the perfecting of their faith, which faith comes by the hearing of the word, as to the ministry, as to the shield, as to know, as to believe, as to confess, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is, as to suddenly recognizing his rights and his place of abode, as it was when I saw those standing on the other side of the crisis. And that as the waters of Noah, this is to me, the Lord said, and here we are on the other side, having made it through the wrath that God poured out upon the image that he despised at Calvary. That is to say, to kill the image of the bastard child of which they called Jesus. As a matter of fact, in talking to the rabbi, when he used the word that they termed as to Jesus and Mary, I said, that would make him a bastard child. I said, that's what the word is for. He said, that's right. But they lied, because they said it wasn't spoken of as to any such thing. But before the New Testament ever come, the prophet spoke of it in the Old Testament. And when he said, God is not flesh, I said, I know that God is a spirit. I said, but he had a son. And when he denied the son, I said, but the Bible says in the Old Testament, and behold, a son, this day I have begotten myself a son, and behold, the son, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, being Emmanuel with us. So tonight, we do have him with us, and we do have the benefits that was given to us in him. And tonight, by the grace of God, through the power of the great Jehovah God, we have overcome the world. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And when he did that, that was me. And he became me in death, that I might become him in righteousness. And he that knew no sin was made sin, even my sin, that I might be made bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, as to his body, as to be righteous in the sight of God throughout eternity, as to the raising for the justification. So here am I in him. And the wrath is past, and the floods are over. And as to that I saw in the vision, the fierceness of the pouring out of the burning indignation of God. And here we are safe, having followed the trail as to a pilgrimage, right on down from the old Egyptian way of life as to the travel when we went into Egypt and went into Israel. And though we were scheduled to go back into Egypt, we refused to go back into Egypt. We come here to little Bethlehem to go straight to our destination as to that which is meant by the body of the black people, which is in Africa, as to the resurrection of the dead. And much that we could say about that, as to them that sit in the regions of the darkness, great light is spring up unto them. And the day star from on high has visited God's people. Until the day star dawn within your heart, as to him the Christ, even the mind, even the spirit of the quickening one, Christ within you, the hope of glory, the day star, as to the unveiled one that rent the veil in two, as Brother Taylor sings. So, as to faith, to hear is to believe. To believe is to be perfected, for he justifies by faith. He purifies our heart by faith. He has saved us and sanctified us and perfected us forever by faith, as to faith through the hearing of the word, as to the minister or him that God sendeth. For how can he speak God's word lest God send him? And he that God sendeth will speak the word of faith. And this we wished, even the perfecting of your faith. For the blood of Jesus has done the other, as to the perfecting, as to the redemption of your spirit and body. While you're standing here with those thoughts in mind and thinking upon the things of God, as to what the Lord is doing, we're getting ready to go into Africa I think I'll call Roger up to pray with you. Roger was wanting to go into Africa with us. While Roger comes to pray for you, think over the things that I said tonight. And we could spend many hours with you. Many hours. If you should hunger and thirst after the things of God, we could spend many hours with you with the revelation of Jesus Christ. Even the revelation of the Son of God. This is the thing that is of great importance. Your eyes must be open. As our brother comes to pray with you, think on these things. And when you don't have anything else to do, as I said, remember me. I'm your pastor. I'm your brother in Christ. Just a helper of your faith. Not a lord over God's heritage. Not taking constraint over you for filthy lucre, but rather to try to be an example unto you, to bless you, and to help you. For that we bless is blessed. That we curse is cursed. So then as our brother comes to pray, remember us.